It's the title of today's message. Choices. In order for us to have arrived here today, how many of you know we had to make choices? We had to make a choice to get up out of bed. We had to make a choice to get dressed. Had to make a choice to leave the house. Had to make a choice to take a certain route in order to get here. Had to make a choice to enter the building. Had to make a choice to take a seat. A choice to stay here in the sanctuary. Right now, we're making choices whether or not we're going to listen to what I'm going to say or whether we are tuning out and trying to slip our cell phone out of our pocket. The thing about choices is that it's hard to tell when a choice is something simple and when it's really significant. Suppose you're driving down the street and you feel like a bag of potato chips and you stop at the convenience store to get the chips. Now, you could stop there in that convenience store and get your chips and come out and be on your way. A very insignificant choice. Or you could go into that convenience store and behind the counter, look out, the person of your dreams. And that's just how the story began and your life was changed forever. Or you could stop at the convenience store and unexpectedly walk into a robbery that's taking place. All you hear is two shots, and the next thing you know, you're paralyzed for the rest of your life. All because of one choice. How many of you have said, if I had only left 5 minutes sooner, if I had only waited 5 minutes later, this would not have happened. Now, when it comes to choices, how many of you know we're going to make some really good ones and we're going to make some really bad ones? One of my programs that I used to enjoy watching as a kid was Let's Make a Deal. And money would come out with a wad of money. And he'd fan it like this, and he'd count it into your hands, and he says, how much money you got there? All excited about the money. And he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. Would you like to trade that money for what's behind door number one, door number two, or door number three? And you're trying to think, what should I do? What should I do? And you know that behind one of those doors is probably five times worth the money you got in your hand. But behind one of those doors is a booby prize. And you could give up your money for something worth a whole lot less. Now, most of us want to make the right choices. Is there anybody here who prays each morning, Lord, help me to make the wrong choice today? We don't get up and do it. We'd like to be able to see into the future so that we could make right choices. Nobody wants to marry the wrong person. Nobody wants to go to the wrong school. Nobody wants to buy the wrong car. Nobody enters into high school thinking, boy, I can't wait till I drop out. But all of these things happen because of choices that we make. And sometimes choices seem to take on a life all their own. Have you ever looked at your situation and said, how on earth did I get myself in this mess? It all started with some choices. When we look in our homes, we can see the tension that is produced by the choices that we make. Now, some of us are producing unnecessary strife and tension in our homes over our own pet peeves we have because of choices that we have made. Now, in our home growing up as kids, when it came to Christmas decorations, they had to be down by January 1st. I don't know what would happen if they were not, but something obviously would, because they were gone by the time New Year's Eve arrived. Now, don't you know I had the fortune of marrying a woman from a family who did not know this eternal rule existed. Do you know how much stress I caused in our home for years over getting rid of the Christmas decorations before New Year's Day? when she was trying to enjoy the holiday spirit as long as possible, there I was being the Grinch trying to end that thing on time. Now, I was making a choice to cause the stress, but do you think I took responsibility for it? Of course not. If only she would put them decorations up, or at least let me do it. You know what I discovered? My choice was a stupid one. I was destroying a relationship for the sake of holding on to a rule that did not matter one way or the other. This year, I was so liberated from that rule, I didn't touch the Christmas decorations until January 5th. I did not put the last one away till February 15th. And you know what? The world is still going on. And you know what else? There was no stress this year over where the Christmas decorations were supposed to go. Now, some of us are making choices in our family that are producing anger, resentment, and stress, and we're blaming the wronged person. Say to your neighbor, I just might be causing part of the problem. Okay? I'm sick and tired of y'all talking about my music too loud. Why don't you just turn it down? Ain't nobody gonna say anything else about it. We going ballistic over things that we insist it's gotta be done right now. It really could wait till later. And then you find out it really didn't have to be done at all. A good part of life is knowing what battle to fight and the choice to simply let something go. You got a choice on how much stress you're going to produce in your home. And each one of us here is either adding to that stress in our family or we're choosing to reduce it. You know something? You may not realize this, but our way is not the only way to get something done. Our way is not the only way to get something done. I have to keep reminding myself of that. I'm a person who don't mind doing dishes. And I believe dishes ought to be done a certain way. You have this here and this here, and you rinse over there. You do not put a plate with that much stuff in this. What I need to do if I'm not washing dishes, I need to leave the kitchen. It drops the stress level down tremendously for me and for whoever's washing the dishes who want to throw that thing upside my head. Now, if you need to know what your issues are, just ask somebody in your family. They'll tell you. Thank you. I'm hot up here with the lights and hot with a fever. Now, in our Old Testament reading, we came across an uncle and a nephew who had both become very wealthy. Wealth then was not measured in terms of stocks and bonds, but sheep and cattle. That's where your food came from. That's where your designer clothes came from. That's where your bargaining chips came from. Abraham and his nephew Lot, they had so many sheep and so many cattle that there was not enough land for the animals to eat, not enough water for them to drink. So when Abraham's servants would find some water to drink, Lot's servants would try to get their animals over there to drink the water. And when Lot's servants found some fresh grazing grass, Abraham's servants would try to get their cattle over there so that they could eat it. The choices they were making was causing a lot of friction and tension between the servants. And this tension worked itself all the way up to Abraham and Lot. Now, Abraham made a choice to speak directly to Lot about the situation. Sometimes we make a choice to speak to everyone except the person we need to speak to in a given situation. Amen? And the result is a lot of backbiting and gossip starts to take place. But Abram didn't do that. He went straight to Lot. Now, God had called Abram to this area of the country, and he had made a promise to Abraham to give him the land. Lot had just sort of come along for the ride. And even though Abraham was in charge, he gave Lot the option of choice. Abraham said, basically, Lot, look, it's not worth damaging our family relationship over the issue of money. If you want the land to the right, I will take the left. If you want it to the left, I will take it to the right. Now, Abraham made a choice to value the relationship over the issue of money. When you see family members not speaking to each other, and they say, it's not about the money, it's the principle of the thing, I guarantee you, it's about the money. Now, when Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, how many of you know Jesus was giving us an assignment that involved making a choice? The hardest thing to genuinely and consistently do is to love someone who's not very lovable at the moment. How many of you have some unlovable people in your life? Most of us. You know, it's not easy loving your parent when he or she just told you that you can't go somewhere you really wanted to go with your friends, especially when you told them you was going before you even got permission to go. It's not easy loving your teenager when you done caught them lying for the fifth time this week, and they say, I swear I'm telling the truth, I swear. Boy, if God asked us about some of them swearing we doing, some of us, they just got to push a button straight to hell. It's not easy loving your husband when he's been harsh in his attitude towards you. It's not easy loving your wife when she gives you two-word answers and says, ain't nothing wrong. It ain't easy loving your supervisor when you're overlooked for a job or a promotion that you know you deserve. It ain't easy loving the people who are working under you when they done slacked off for the 15th time and didn't show up for work and called you 2 hours later talking about I'll be late today. It ain't easy loving people. Love in these situations call for a choice. Here is where a relationship with Jesus comes into the picture. Jesus says in Luke 9:23-24, then he said to them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Okay, so you angry and you're upset with this person and you really would like to give them a piece of your mind. But Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, are you going to come after Jesus or not? Are you going to make the choice to follow him or not? Giving up that feeling you have isn't that feeling you feel like you got, I just got a right to be angry. Any of you ever had a right to be angry? You just had a right to be mad at them. And you knew you had a right to be mad. We may enjoy that feeling of anger or rage because we are justified in it. Abraham could have told Lot, boy, you didn't have nothing before you hooked up with me. I'm the reason you are wealthy. Now get your behind and your servants out of my face before I do some serious damage up in here. Now some of us done said that to somebody. But our call as Christians is to put relationships ahead of things and situation. And this is going to call for some denials to ourselves, even when we might be right. Okay, we agree with you 100%. Your mother was totally wrong in how she handled the situation. So what's going to be your response as a Christian? We agree your child was totally off the hook and just as wrong as could be. Your spouse was just as wrong. We done listened to the evidence. We side with you. Your boss was wrong. Nobody denies the wrong. But what is your choice of a response going to be as a Christian? You know, you could become rude and angry and even self-righteous. Or you could become Christ-like and forgive in a spirit of humility. It's your choice. Which one is going to cause more stress in your family? How many of you wake up each morning praying, Lord, this family need more stress. We need more stress. Use me to make the stress. Well, if we're not praying for it, how come so much of it is there? Abraham knew that he was going to follow God no matter which route Lot was going to take, either to the right or to the left. The key was he knew he was going to follow God no matter which way Lot said go. Now, as a church, we face the choice of choosing to stay in our denomination or leaving our denomination. But the ultimate issue is not whether we stay or not. The real issue is, are we going to be faithful in serving God regardless of the path we choose? You want to know? The greatest problem in our church right now is family members not loving and getting along with each other. If we leave the denomination, will that cause us to allow God to make us more loving to the people in our homes? If we stay, are we more likely to start loving people in our homes? First service was a little bit more decisive than y'all. It's not just sexual sins that grieve the heart of God. It's murmuring. It's complaining. If we stay, will we allow God to get rid of murmuring and complaining? If we leave, will we allow God to get rid of murmuring and complaining? You see, doesn't really matter where you are. If you're not open to the Spirit of God, you've gained nothing. Our place of position is nowhere near as important as making the choice to individually open our hearts to be changed by the Spirit of God. Amen. God specifically told Abraham to leave the land of Ur. Yet God does not tell Abraham whether he should go to the right or to the left in this situation with Lot. He allows Abraham to choose. There are some things in our lives that God gives us a definite assignment and a plan. There are other things in which God merely gives you the option of choice. God allows us to choose our course, but our calling in the choice remains the same, which is to be faithful to the Word of God. Now, we have been through a 7-month period of discernment on our relationship to the denomination. And God has clearly revealed the truth of His Word concerning the issues we face. And in our times of prayer, I believe we can honestly say this, the Lord has not appeared and said, leave the denomination. Therefore, we're not facing the first kind of decision about leaving Ur. We're looking at a different decision. Do you go to the right or do you go to the left? And no doubt God can use us in either direction. What makes our church unique is that we do seek to discern the leading of the Spirit. And we change course if changing course is necessary. Having to make choices is one of the ways in which we learn about our faith in God. And the choice is not nearly as important as the motivation behind the choice. Is the motivation to be used by God? People have to face choices. Should I get married? Should I stay single? How many of you know those are both choices? How many of you know there are single people who'd love to be married and married people who'd love to be single? It goes both ways. For those of you who are single, marriage is not the promised land. And if you think, boy, when I get married, whoa, I'm really going to be able to walk tight with God, you're going to discover a level of selfishness in you that you ain't never seen before. And then you also got to deal with the other person's level of selfishness you've never seen before. So both sides have their good points and their bad points. It's a choice. Those of you who are trying to choose, what college should I go to? Should I go to a big college? Should I go to a small college? That's not the issue. Have you made up your mind to be faithful to God when you get to college? That's what's really important, because you can be at a small college in bed on Sunday morning. You can be at a large college in bed on Sunday morning. Our young people sometimes, they think I lost my mind. They forget I went to college. I went to grad school. I went to law school. And I ask our young people, have you found a church? Well, you know, I've really been studying. They never say I went to the party and that other party that I, and that other party and that other one. All they do at college is just study between 9 a.m. and 11:30 on Sunday morning. If you ain't made up your mind you're going to be faithful to God when you go away, it didn't really matter where you went. Our calling is to be faithful to Christ, denying ourselves on a regular and a consistent basis so that God can be at work in our lives. It is not a place that is going to make us more faithful. It is a choice to live for Christ and to follow Christ no matter what that produces true disciples. Now, when Lot made the choice as to which section of the land he wanted to take, he didn't think about Abraham at all. He looked and he saw what's best for me. He saw the land in this direction was rich. The grass was green. There was rivers. There was water. He said, I take that one. Now, the grass really did look greener in that direction. You know, we get that phrase, the grass looks greener on the other side. This is where that phrase came from. Sometimes the grass really does look greener on the other side. But sometimes we get over there and find out it was greener because it was full of weeds. How many of you done? You made a choice for something that looked really, really, really good. And you got that thing and whoa, whoa, whoa. You couldn't wait to get out of there. Almost every Christian thinks it would be easier to live somewhere else. You know, if I didn't have the parents I had, I could serve God. You know, if my kids was like the other kids in the church, don't ever say that. Ooh, I really would be on fire with them for the Lord. You know, if I was married to somebody like so-and-so, I know I'd be a great husband or a great wife. No, you wouldn't. How many of you know you are where you are? And that is where God has called you to change right where you are. You don't get to go turn your parents in. God, I'm upset with them. Give me a new pair. And none of y'all better not go dropping y'all kids off at the hospital. Talk about I'm tired of them. God gave us to each other for a reason. Amen. There is never going to be an event that is going to make us want to serve the Lord more. It's the choices we are making every day that's either leading us toward God or away from God. I challenge you tomorrow. Examine the choices you make about how you spend your time all day long. And then at the end of the day, look at your choices and say, which one of these led me closer to God? Which one of these led me further away from God? And then ask yourself, what are you going to do about the ones that led you further away from God? Don't just say, God, forgive me for those. No, what are you going to do to change those particular activities? One of the things about being a Christian is that you can't graduate. Wouldn't it be nice if, you know, after so many days you get your Christian degree? Here's your Christian degree, and I'm a full one now. There is no Christian degree until you die. So you go into class every day to learn to change. For we are called to make choices to die on a daily basis. Now, when the scripture says pick up your cross, it's not talking about put that thing around your neck so that everybody know. It's saying say yes to God and no to me. Yes to God, no to me. Because, see, when you put down your cross to tell somebody off, what you're doing then is saying no to God and yes to me. Okay? So when you pick up your cross, it's yes to God, no to me. And Jesus says these crosses are supposed to be picked up daily, which means they last 24 hours long, which means that we cannot say, okay, God, if they say that thing one more time, I'm going to slap them. 24 hours, you got to be a Christian. And that's all he asks, just for 24 hours a day. And then tomorrow starts all over again. Means each day is an opportunity for us to be used by God in a miraculous way. All right, so keep that in mind. The Bible says the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. And even if the person stumbles and falls, the Lord is not going to cast that person down because he holds him with his hand. Even when we make bad choices, God is saying, you can get back up. We can start walking on this thing again. How many of you thank God that he keeps holding us up with his hand? Amen. Now, Lot was within his right to choose the best-looking land for himself, but his motivation was to get ahead in this rat race. He was asking, how can I get more for myself? There is a price to pay if we only think about ourselves and we have to win all the time. How many of you like being around people who have to win all the time? They have to be right all the time. How many of y'all love being around people who just have to be right all the time? How many of y'all are one of those people that just have to be right all the time? I can tell you, you one of those real stress-producing people in your house. For Jesus says, for whoever wants to save his life, whoever wants to be right all the time, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, give up the reason to have to be right all the time, will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul? You know, Lot's choice seemed like a good one at the moment. But you know what that choice did? That choice led to meeting some brothers and sisters from Sodom and Gomorrah. That led to him hanging out with them. That led to him moving into Sodom and Gomorrah. No, those two cities were the most wicked cities in the entire Bible. And at first, the scripture says Lot's soul was tormented by having to be around the people. I don't know why he stayed in there, but he was tormented. But you know what? He made enough choices to get used to it. And then when God tried to save him out of the city, the angel literally had to drag his family out before God could destroy the city. You see, it wasn't his choice to choose the greener grass that led to his downfall. It was the choice to let go of the things of God that he had learned from Abraham that was his ultimate downfall. Abraham's choice to be faithful to God no matter what only added further blessings to his life. Because after Lot left, God showed up again. Basically, God told Abraham, look, I know you feel like Lot did you wrong, but don't worry about it. Look to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south. And everything that you see, I'm still going to give it to you. Some of you have felt like some people have really done you wrong and really messed you up. And God is saying to you, look to the east, look to the west, look to the north, look to the south. I'm able to give you so much more than what they ever took from you. Sometimes we just need to make the choice to let the Lord fight the battle for us. God kept his promise, and Abraham prospered greatly. Lot, on the other hand, died a poor man in a cave hiding somewhere. It may look as though the other person has the upper hand, but you need to remember, you need to be faithful to God no matter what. God does not settle all accounts by the end of the day. Sometimes he doesn't even settle them all until we get to the other side. But God is looking. God is watching. He's trying to see, are you going to be faithful no matter what in the choices that you are making? Amen. Let's pray.